Good, everybody. Welcome to another Gold Standard podcast. I am Rob Stats Guerrera. She is Michelle Majuk. We are here with you on a Friday, the day after an actual football game, Michelle.
And I heard it was really good. I did not watch it.
You didn't watch any?
No, I didn't.
Wow. I had to watch it. I couldn't stop myself. You know what? Carson Beck. Not bad.
Did I tell you who he looks like?
He is a strange looking man. Who do you think he looks like?
Wendy from The Shining. Look her up. They're identical faces. Like, type in Wendy from The Shining right now.
Oh, okay. This is not where I thought we were going today. We will get to 49ers players that need to take a leap in a second. But now Michelle has derailed us right off the bat. And yes, that is 100% accurate.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's Wendy vibes for sure. Okay. Let's dive into what I want to talk about today, which is which 49ers players need to take a leap. Because I was thinking about it this morning. And of course, obviously, if they're rookies and their second year players all turn into stars, yay. Okay, great. That's obviously not going to happen. Most of them won't turn into stars because that's just the law of averages in the NFL. There are more non-stars than stars. But what if they can get four or five of them to turn into just average NFL players? Imagine that. Imagine the craziness of that. But when you look at it, and when I was looking at it today, I was like, you know, if they can do that, they still have the other guys, the Mike Evans, the George Kittle, the Christian McCaffrey, all that stuff that can carry the main load. If they just essentially don't have any gaping holes anywhere on this team, they're going to be damn good and will be competing for a Super Bowl.
Yeah, they need these draft picks to start hitting. And like you said, it doesn't have to be all superstars. They need just some key players that can be solid starters and be average, right? Because for so long, they got away with hitting on all these amazing players and the Fred Warners. And I mean, I say hitting on Nick Bosa, it was the easiest pick ever, right? Trading for Trent Williams. Like, they had their key pieces there that they didn't have to worry so much about hitting in the draft, but now they're all getting older. They're all dealing with these injuries, right? And this is where it becomes very, very important that you can rebuild again while still like having your main key pieces still there to play. But I mean, from last year's class, they have to make a big step up in year two for us to feel good about really any of them.
Any of them?
To feel good. Yeah, they all have to take a step forward this year to feel good about any of them. What do you mean?
I thought Upton Stout was pretty good last year.
If he played exactly the same as last year, you would think he was good?
I would think he was solid. Huh. I mean, I would like to see him get better, of course. Obviously, yes, but
I didn't think he was solid. I thought for a third round rookie, he was okay.
I think you could do a lot worse at nickel corner than Upton Stout. And the reason I say that is because we've seen worse up close and personal at San Francisco at slot corner for the past couple of years.
If he stays how he did last year for his career, he's not going to be a starter for very long.
That would be disappointing. Yes. I mean, we hope that everybody make this is the year for them, right? Like, the second year is supposedly the year you make the biggest jump because, number one, you know what to expect. And number two, you've had an all in theory, ideally, you've had an offseason where you could train instead of preparing for the draft, which is a completely different offseason. Like, you're not training for football. You're training for the combine, which is a different thing. So this is the year where you would hope that all of them would improve in some way. The question is who, how many, and how much?
And the two that desperately need to are Mykel and Alfred Collins, right? Those are the two that they're the top two, so those should be the ones that break out. But then also, I mean, they need an edge rusher that's young, that can be their next franchise edge rusher to take over, to play with Nick Bosa for now. But then when Bosa is gone in a couple of years, right, or we'll see how he can come back from this injury, like, they need him to step up big time. And then with Alfred Collins, like, at least show us that you could just be a monster of a dude to just shore up that run defense, right? Like, I don't even care if you have pass rush skills in you. Like, just be a monster big guy that can stop the defense, and I will be happy with that development.
That's the weirdest thing. Like, a lot of people think Mykel Williams has to make a massive jump to be a really solid contributor. Alfred Collins doesn't have to make as massive a jump, even though you're not asking him. Like, he doesn't have to be Vita Vea. He just has to be dude that gets in the way in the middle and can occasionally make, you know, some big plays like he did against the Rams, that kind of thing. It's weird. Like, he has a smaller jump to make, but it's almost more important that he makes it. I don't want to say more, but it's, well, all right, maybe it's not as important as Mikal.
And also, a lot of this comes down to is just expectations, right? Like, when you're drafted so highly, you're going to have more expectations on you, and you have to do more to feel like you're not a bust. Like, look at Chase Young's career. He's actually been a pretty solid player in the NFL. It's just, he seems like such a big bust because he was taken so high in the draft that that's just what it comes down to. If Mikal doesn't become a star, taking him 11th overall, it hurts. And anyone outside of the first round, I never expect to become a star. If they do, like, there's plenty of them in the league that were drafted second round, third round, fourth round, or later. But I just don't put those expectations on them. And then you're just pleasantly surprised if they do turn into stars.
There's a difference between being a disappointing pick and being a bust. Yeah. If you want to say Chase Young is disappointing, okay. He is by no means a bust. You can't last in the NFL as long as Chase Young has lasted and be a bust. That's not possible. Just like Alex Smith. Alex Smith is not a bust. He was picked first overall in the draft. Was he disappointing? Yes, but definitely not a bust. So I think sometimes people just think, like, if they don't fulfill all the potential we expect, that they're a bust. And to me, I look at busts as like guys that cannot play in the league, guys that are out of the league.
Well, Trey Lance is a bust. For sure. He's technically still in the league, but
he's in the league. He doesn't play. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, there are levels of bust, I guess, because he's still in the league, which, okay, you deserve some credit for people not just being like, we're totally done with you. But yeah, he's in the bust category.
What do you think this team would look like if they never traded up for Trey Lance? Like, how many other great pieces would they have right now? Because I think this is where we're really starting to feel that trade, right? Because they had all their key pieces, and John Lynch even came out to say, like, we weren't looking for starters in the draft, which is just a crazy thing to say. And he's like, now we are. But like, do you think there'd be one or two more like elite players on this roster if they had those early draft picks from trading away from Trey Lance?
Well, no. Like, that's what I feel like everybody does. They just assume that those picks were going to be elite players.
Well, the players that all went around there in the Trey Lance draft, it would be pretty hard to pick a bust there. I mean, that was a pretty great draft.
You can't bang on the 49ers drafting, but then automatically say, well, if they had those picks, they would have picked great players. Like, it's either one
of
the... No,
I know, but I'm saying it would be so hard to mess that draft up. I mean, go look at the first 13 picks in that draft.
Was that that
outside of the quarterbacks? Like, but that's the whole thing. Like, if they didn't take a quarterback,
so they could have had Kyle Pitts, Ja'Marr Chase, Jalen Waddle, Penei Sewell, Patrick Surtain, Devontae Smith, Micah Parsons. Parsons is the guy because he was picked at 12, right? And that's where the 49ers originally. But
all of those guys, Penei Sewell, Ja'Marr Chase, like, obviously outside of Kyle Pitts, but they weren't going to take him anyways with Kittle. And then Patrick Surtain, like,
I wouldn't have hated that, by the way. If they had Kittle and Pitts, I would not have hated that at all.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think it's the combination of that and the Christian McCaffrey trade. Don't forget, they gave up a second, third, fourth, and fifth for Christian McCaffrey. That's a lot of picks that they also didn't have. But I have always said this, even with those trades, if they had just not picked complete busts with the guys that they actually did pick, they would have been fine. They would have been fine, but they haven't been able to get anything out of some of those classes, other than obviously Brock Purdy in 2022. But it's just Drake Jackson, bust, right? Cannot play. Ty Davis Price, cannot play. Danny Gray, cannot play. Nick Sakel, he's on the team. Guess what? He's a bust. Cannot play. Like that, they stopped hitting singles and doubles, and that's what has killed them. And the question for this year is how many of these guys that they have taken in the past couple of years can be either singles or doubles?
It is so interesting to look at all of their classes because it's like, man, that 2021 class was terrible too with the Lance. I know Aaron Banks started and he ended up getting a contract, but he still stunk in my opinion. But Trey Sermon, Ambry Thomas, and then you go down and then you get Diamondore Lenore and Hufanga, right? And Elijah Mitchell even had some impact. Yep. So why can they? And then you have the Brock Purdy in that terrible draft with Drake Jackson and Ty Davis Price and all that. Why can they find guys so late but can't? what are they doing that they're finding these prospects late that they can't hit on early?
Reminds me of Donovan McNabb, who could make brilliant throws 30 yards down the field on a line, but couldn't hit a 5-yard slant pass. Like, how do you do the hard thing really well and not do the easy thing really well? The answer is, I don't know. I have no idea. Have they broken that streak is my question. I don't know, but I sure would like to see a defensive line that has competent starter Mykel Williams, competent starter Alfred Collins, Osa Odighizuwa, and Nick Bosa on it. Like,
that
yes.
would be incredible. I am guessing you're thinking that that could happen because on your podcast with Levin, you said that they're going to be a top five defense.
They could be, yes, if those guys are better. Like, they obviously have to make improvements. But yeah, I think they could.
You guys are doing predictions for the season, and your prediction was that they're going to be a top five defense. Don't take it back now.
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
Because that's crazy. Because
why?
On paper, because they... I get it. They're being talked up right now in training camp. And you being like, they're talking so good about Raheem Morris. What players are not talking? 95% of players are talking good about their coaches right now, especially new coaches, especially players who are trying to earn as many snaps as they can in playing time. Like, what are they going to say? No, this guy sucks. Like, and then get their coach on their bad side. They're going to say glowing reviews about their own teammates, about their own coaches, unless they want to get a lot of crap from the media, because God forbid if they were to say something, then that would blow up with fans and media, right?
This guy sucks.
Yeah, exactly.
More 49ers Gold Standard podcast after this.
The right window treatments change everything. Your sleep, your privacy, the way every room looks and feels. At Blinds.com, we've spent 30 years making it surprisingly simple to get exactly what your home needs. We've covered over 25 million windows and have 50,000 five-star reviews to prove we deliver. Whether you DIY it or want a pro to handle everything from measure to install, we have you covered. Real design professionals, free samples, zero pressure. Right now, get up to 45% off site-wide, plus get a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
On paper, there are a lot of guys coming off of injuries. You have Nick Bosa older. You have a lot of unknown talent in the secondary outside of the door. And you got to hope Greenlaw stays healthy, I guess. And you got to hope, like you just said, those defensive linemen can all mesh, stay healthy, and be good together. There is no way you're telling me that the 49ers defense on paper is better than the Seahawks defense or the Texans defense or the Broncos defense.
I never said that. I never said any of those things.
Okay, but if they're going to be top five, now that leaves them two spots because Seahawks, Texans, Broncos are light years ahead of them. The Patriots last year fourth, and I think they got better with adding Draymond Jones and Kevin Byard.
I think that the Niners could have had a top five defense last year if everybody stayed healthy. So, like, this is not just me coming out of nowhere. Like, I liked the bones of this last year. It just, they lost their most important players and it all crumbled. And I think the 49ers defense got better this year. You don't think they're better with Dre Greenlaw?
If he can stay healthy.
I think they're better. I think Upton Stout is going to be better. They're better with Osa Odighizuwa in the middle of that defense by 1,000,000,000%. So it's not Kevin friggin' Givens in the middle of that defense or the
but
ghost.
Like,
if
you look at the other great, like the Eagles, look at their defense line. Like, I would take that, right? I would take their secondary by far. I mean, Quinnon, Mitchell, Cooper, DeJean, and now Tariq Woolen. Like, that's insanely better than the 49ers. Their inside linebacker core is good too. I'm excited about Jahad Campbell for them. Their young guy coming up to play with already. Who is it that already broke out for them? I can't even think right now. But who's the linebacker I'm thinking of for the Eagles?
I don't know.
The only name coming to mind is Josh Sweat, and that's not him. He was the edge rusher for them that left, but it doesn't matter. Anyways, the Eagles defense, again, on paper, way, way better than the 49ers. So I just don't see a world where they're going to fit into top five.
Well, the Browns had a top five defense last year. Ain't no way they're going to be top five this year.
No, they were 14th last year in points allowed.
Okay, well, you're going by points. I was looking at yards.
I think points are a little bit more important.
They were fourth in yards.
I'm fine with the 49ers giving up yards. Just don't give up points.
Oh, shoot. I'm sorry. This person told me how to say their name, and I forgot, and I apologize.
Azazra.
Thank you for the super chat. Says, if we do a draft of the NFC West players drafted since 2002, Brock Purdy might be the only top 15 in my office. No, I don't think so. Since 2002, I mean, yeah, it's been rough. We all know that. But yes, I absolutely think the 49ers, like, people think that the Seahawks have all pros at every position. They don't. And this is not me knocking the Seahawks. Most great defenses have a few great players, and then they have solid players everywhere else. You know what they don't have? Kevin Givens in the middle of their defense. They don't have the ghost of Yitor Gross Matos in the middle of their defense. And I don't think the Niners have those guys this year.
Definitely they upgraded. It's just also we're depending on so many guys coming back from major injuries, and we're just expecting that Mykal Williams is somehow going to get better, right? Coming off an ACL tear. Maybe that happens, but he has to get much better. We're expecting Nick Bosa at 30 years old to be able to come off his third ACL tear and be the same. Fred Warner, I do have confidence in because he's Fred Warner, right? But yeah, I do love the addition of Dre Greenlaw too. But again, we're expecting him to stay healthy. When's the last time that has happened? So a lot of things we're expecting. We're expecting the secondary that looks really, really sketchy, especially the safety group, for Raheem Morris just to make greatness out of nothing, right? Because it just feels like it's a pretty rough group. There's a lot of hope here. And then we do have some comments here. This S. Little complaining about me, but talking about Houston's offense and Denver's offense and how they don't compare to the 49ers. We're talking about defense.
Like, yeah, that's
I'm not saying the 49ers can't beat the Seahawks, Texans, Broncos. We're saying, would they rank higher than them in points allowed next year on defense? It has nothing to do with the offense.
Yeah, I don't know why anyone would bring up offense. It's really weird. We're having a conversation about defense. I think the safeties have to make the biggest jump for sure. I think the corners are solid. So I don't know. I think if the corners play the way they played last year, if the rest of the defense is better, they'll be fine. And we'll think they're fine. I think that the fact that they could not rush the passer last year made the corners look worse than they are.
Definitely. And having a better pass rush definitely helps out the secondary for sure. And I do love them adding Osa. I think that will help. But who's to say the pass rush is going to be so much better? Because we didn't see a good pass rush out of Mykal Williams at all. And we don't know what Nick Bosa is going to be like coming back from injury.
Yes, but he's infinitely better. Even a reduced Nick Bosa is infinitely better than anybody they had filling in that spot last year. So literally, by default, they have to be better. It has to be improved. And if Nick Bosa can play like Nick Bosa, then it's greatly improved. And that, yeah. By the way, Nick Bosa's 28. How dare you say he's 30? Don't put that juju on him.
Is Nick Bosa really only 28?
Yeah. That's the crazy thing is that he's had two friggin' ACL tears.
I thought I was going down in age, honestly. I don't know why I thought he was like 31. Yeah. Nick Bosa's not 28?
Yes, he is.
What? That's crazy. I feel like he's been in the league forever. Yeah, I don't know if people are understanding the conversation we're having right now. I am arguing with stats right now because on yesterday's show with Levin, he said he thinks the 49ers will finish as a top five defense in the league. That's the only question we're having right now. That's what the debate we're having. I'm just saying I don't think they'll finish top five on defense. So, yes, balance is key here. I don't. Yes. Duh.
Yeah. This seems like a simple thing. Maybe we're not.
I don't know what's so difficult to comprehend right now.
I'm not sure. By the way, we should say too, best defenses last year by points per game. Seahawks 17.2, Texans 17.4, Broncos 18.3, Patriots 18.8, and Eagles 19.1. Those are the top five. The Chiefs, Vikings, Jags, Chargers, Rams were the teams after that. 49ers, for the record, allowed 21.8 points per game. It is crazy that, like, the Seahawks were 17.2, the 49ers were 21.8, and basically the Niners were middle of the road in points allowed, and the Seahawks were number one. That's not that many different points. It's like a field goal, basically, more per game, but that's how bunched up everybody is. Mm-hmm. You're telling me the Niners can't be a field goal per game better this year on defense?
I don't know.
B-Mills is the man. YouTube channel member says, question for Michelle. Keeper league already keeping Bijan in the first, Neighbors in the third, Daniels in the 12th. Last spot, McLaurin second, Waddle eighth, or Dunze eighth?
Ooh, a Dunze eighth.
I'm worried about Neighbors.
I'm not. I think he looks great.
Okay, well, the way they were talking about that knee really scared me, but maybe he...
I know, it was scaring me during the offseason too, but now he's at training camp, he's practicing, he looks great. I'm all in on Neighbors. I love it. And he's also, keeper league, you're not going to let him go anyways, especially for these guys. So a Dunze eighth is what I would go.
How's McLaurin's future look now that Stephon Diggs is with the Commanders?
I think fine, but he's always just like kind of mid-tier type of wide receiver anyways for fantasy. And he's 31, I think. So
bummer for Brandon Ayuk, huh? Ooh, man.
I mean, I don't know. He was already destroyed. The whole way he's played this offseason is truly something that should be researched.
Disaster class is the word you're searching for.
More 49ers Gold Standard podcast after this.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire. Plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, Michelle, I need your help. Something happened to me and Aaron, my wife, yesterday that rubbed me the wrong way a little bit. So Aaron and I take walks. We're getting older now. Got to take walks. Got to try and do something physically active. We have become pretty good friends with our neighbors down the street. We live on a cul-de-sac. Our kids are in the same class at school. We see them every day, all this stuff. This summer, for some reason, they've kind of ghosted us a little bit, and we don't really know why. So yesterday, my wife and I are walking on the street, and who's come driving up towards us but our neighbor, who we haven't seen. We literally haven't seen because she's been on vacation, so we haven't even seen her in a month. She sees us. She waves. She doesn't slow down, and she blows right past us and goes down the street. Am I wrong to feel snubbed?
No, you were definitely snubbed. She's just not that into you. they're just not that into you as wanting to be friends, sadly.
But here's the thing. During the school year, her kids are coming to my house once a week. My kids are playing at her house once a week. It's all good.
Yeah, maybe you just need to talk to her and say, hey, what's going on? Why did we do something to upset you? Maybe.
Well, I don't want direct conversation. What's that? Of course that would solve the issue.
What you have to do is invite them over one night for some drinks, make them a couple steaks, and then once someone has some wine in them, they'll get out anything. And it might be one awkward night, but you get out the awkwardness and you ask, what's going on? Did we say something to upset you? And you guys can have a little argument maybe, and then everything will be fine. Or maybe they just don't want to be, maybe they don't like you guys, so they don't want to be your friend. That could be it too.
How could anybody not like us?
I know. That seems very impossible. You guys are very, very likable and lovable and so much fun. So I doubt that's it. But, you know, maybe they're losers that don't know what they had.
I didn't like it. We both looked at each other like, did that just happen? Not even a slowdown, not even a roll down the window and a hey, just right
that
by.
That's something I would do to my neighbors. I don't want to talk to you.
All right, we got a couple of questions here. B-Mills is the man, says, will Michelle be doing fantasy previews on the new show?
Absolutely. I'll have a whole week or two of just straight up rankings of all my rankings for fantasy.
Tell people the new show.
Oh, that would be helpful. It's Locked On NFL Big Board. I'm also going to be the new short hit person for the Buccaneers this season. So I might have now a third favorite team too.
Wait a minute. What? Breaking news on the show?
Yeah, I'm going to be doing pretty much all too much work.
What? Tell us again, what are you going to be doing with the Buccaneers?
So it's a bunch of TikTok videos. They also go on YouTube. It's all like shorts, anything short form. I'll be doing 4 shows a day of short form and then 2 5-minute podcasts for covering all things Buccaneers, all the latest news.
How are you squeezing us in? That's what I want to know.
I got you.
And then we got another comment today early in the show from somebody that pointed out, oh, yes, here it is. Now that's hilarious. One says you're early. Yes, we are early today. I had a doctor's appointment, so we had to change the time of the show. I texted this to Michelle to see what different times she could do. And her response to me broke my brain. I said, can we do 2:15 Eastern? She said, I have a hair appointment at 12:30. And tell everybody how long you said your hair appointment lasts.
It takes about 4 hours, sometimes a little bit more than that.
4 hours? Are they cutting your hair with, I don't even know.
It's not like, just cutting. I get it's going to be more blonde after this. I'm going to get highlights, and it takes forever to get highlights. It takes forever to put the foils in, and then you have to sit around for about an hour for them to like do the thing, and then you get this luxurious hair wash thing and all that, and then we finally get it dried and cut, or cut and dried.
4 to 5
I hate it. Just so we know, I hate it with everything.
I told Erin, and she wanted me to ask you, how often do you have to do this?
I should be doing it like every 3 to 4 months, but it's expensive. So I only typically do it every year. That's why it's so dark right now. But I went like 8 months ago. So I'm going quicker than normal.
Batman29 says, that's normal, Rob. My girlfriend does the same thing.
It's very normal.
Yeah. How about you just don't get highlights in your hair, and then it takes you 2 seconds to get your hair cut, and it's cheaper.
I like it blonde better than dark.
Oh, you're crazy. I don't understand. That would 4 to 5 hours. I don't do anything for 4 to 5 hours except sleep.
Luckily, I'm kind of friends with my hairdresser, so it'll be fun. It'll be fun. All right. Oh, and also, like, she gets me a bottle of champagne when I go. So I just drink mimosas while I'm sitting in the chair.
What a shock.
Yeah.
Michelle finds
and hilarious. You already made me start early today with this 10 o'clock Central Time start. And God forbid I didn't bring a mimosa, and I am Mimosa Michelle. I can't disappoint the fans. So
that's true.
And this is all your fault.
You could just put more orange juice in it. And then
That's more
orange juice.
Yeah, I actually did put more orange juice in it today because it was early.
Oh, brother. All right, let's get back to the 49ers. Let me ask you this question, Michelle. If I let you pick either a player from this draft class or last draft class to become a star, maybe not like a superstar, but a star player, someone that would earn a second contract from the 49ers, which player from those two classes would you pick?
I feel like this is going to be such a lame answer, but I am going to pick Dejon Stribling, like, because right now with how Ricky Pearsall's career seems like it's going, it does not seem like he's going to be getting a second contract with the 49ers. Yeah, exactly. With their other guys being Mike Evans and Christian Kirk and your top guy, maybe George Kittle, on the last leg here for sure. They need Stribling to be the guy they drafted him thinking he can be, right? I know there was a lot of hate around this pick, especially from me as well, but I hope the 49ers are so right and they make everyone look so stupid here, because if they can find a guy who is incredibly fast and is a huge playmaker and is able to get open all over the field, is able to open up the offense because of his speed, you can't beat that. I mean, that's definitely would be my pick. If he can be a superstar, elite player, he gets a massive contract. Oh, there'd be nothing better. I think that would be massive for this team and be massive for Brock Purdy in the future to have someone to grow with over the next 5+ years.
They definitely need that wide receiver from somewhere if they're going to have like an elite high-powered offense. They had a really solid offense last year with nobody at wide receiver. You get somebody that can actually friggin' play a little bit, that's a whole other ball of wax. Mac Jones called him the Flying Hawaiian yesterday because he's apparently very fast, and of course he's from Hawaii. I feel like we could get a little more creative with it. Everybody from Hawaii that shows any kind of speed, people say Flying Hawaiian just because it rhymes. We could do better than that. But
I feel like with his last name, Stribling, you could do something fun with that. I'm not good at being creative in that way, but there has to be something fun with that.
Not you personally, but somebody should be able to do something with it.
Someone's creative out there.
I think I would pick Alfred Collins only because I think pressure from the interior of the defensive line is the single most disruptive thing you can have. Like, really good wide receivers.
Hold on real quick, right? Because when... outside of like Aaron Donald or Chris Jones. So I guess if that's what you're saying they become, I really don't think a defensive tackle ever changes that much of a defense. Because even look at Vita Vea, right? We're like, oh God, he would be great. He'd be so great. Buccaneers defense has stunk with him. It's not his fault, but they've stunk.
No one can do it on their own. Like if you have a bunch of trash cans around him, that's not going to work out. But if you had, and maybe Odighizuwa can do it, if you consistent pressure, not even sacks, but just quick, consistent pressure. That's the other part of this. It's got to be quick. It can't be after 4 seconds because the ball is going to be out by then. It's going to be useless. It has to be quick pressure right up the middle, especially against a team like the Rams. Matthew Stafford can't move. You want to slow down that Rams offense? You get pressure in his face from up the middle right away. Where's he going to go? I don't care that he's got an arm that's blessed by the gods. If he has to move, he's just as mortal as anybody else.
Oh, yeah. They got to put pressure on these guys. And to be able to beat the Seahawks this year and the Rams, both of those quarterbacks, like, get pressure on them, and they'll make mistakes. Like, especially Sam Darnold. I mean, he led the league last year in giveaways. I feel like that's just not talked about. And turnovers, he literally led the league with 20. And the Seahawks had the third lowest pass rate in the league. And somehow he still managed to lead the league in giveaways. And he was never asked to do anything. And 11 of his 20 or 11 of 14 interceptions or whatever he had was under pressure. So pressure Sam Darnold and you're good. And yeah, the only literal way to make Stafford make a mistake is to get in his face and make him have to rush because he is such a good quarterback that, but he's capable of throwing interceptions, having a 3-interception game. How many times have we seen that?
I don't know how I fell into this yesterday, but I watched a montage of all of the Niners interceptions from 2023. First of all, it was like 15 minutes long, which I was like, oh, but I was like, let me just watch this. And as I'm watching, almost all of them, quarterback under pressure, guy in his face, quarterback on the move like that. That's why they couldn't get interceptions. It's not like they forgot how to catch. It's just quarterbacks are not going to just randomly throw you the ball. You have to.
Unless they're terrible. Them. Yeah.
Right. And the 49ers, they're not going to be facing a bunch of terrible quarterbacks this year. It's Stafford. It's Darnold. I don't think Bo Nix is very good. I'm lower on him than some people, but Dak.
Bo Nix, like, I think Sean Payton's offense, which technically it's going to be Davis Webb's now. So we'll see. Like, they do play it safer where it's harder to get those interceptions because it's lower, you know, air yards and they just kind of hurt you slowly. Like picking you apart.
He's the weirdest quarterback because he can be absolute trash for three quarters. And then all of a sudden, the fourth quarter, he starts throwing dots. And you're like, what is happening here?
Yeah, Bo Nix, I think, is going to be the reason the Broncos missed the playoffs this year, personally.
More 49ers Gold Standard podcast after this.
BetMGM, official partner of Major League Baseball, is bringing the heat all season long. Step up to the plate all season with Swing for the Fences, the free-to-play game where every swing could score you rewards. We're talking parlay boost tokens, odds boost tokens, same-game parlay boost, and even bonus spins all season long. And the action doesn't stop there. Get more out of every at-bat with MLB same-game parlay boost. Stack your picks and boost your potential payout. Plus, lock in bigger value with MLB odds boost tokens and MLB MLB Parlay Boost tokens all season long. More boosts, more swings, more chances to win. Download the BetMGM app and step up to the plate today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus and present in Ohio. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards pay back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Now, without further commercial interruption, the conclusion of this episode of the 49ers Gold Standard Podcast.
Oh, man, with a defense that good, you think they're going to miss? He's going to have to be trash for that to be the case.
Yeah, but if you look at how they won some of these games, they played so many bad teams and they barely beat them. I mean, they needed some really crazy things to happen to get that 14 record. Like, if you go through and look at that, I'm not going to be shocked if some of those games go a different way and all of a sudden they only have 9 wins instead of 14, because 11 of their 14 wins came against like close games against bad teams. So I'm not going to be shocked if it goes the other way.
Last thing I want to talk to you about on today's show, it came out that the Rams are going to basically fly into Australia the day before the game, play the game, and fly out of town, which is the complete opposite approach the 49ers are going to have, which is fly in the week before, get used to the time zone, acclimate yourself, play the game, and then fly out afterwards. What do you think is the right approach? And this is totally like, no one knows, so whatever you say is perfectly valid.
No one knows, but I have done the flight to Australia. So I do have a little experience there. I have gone to Australia. It's brutal.
How long was it?
Well, we went from New York to LA. So that was a 6-hour flight. Then we had a long layover. Then it was 14 hours flight from LA to Australia. And that was throughout the night too. So I was young, like I was in my teens. So you bounce back quicker. You're able to sleep on planes, right? I would not survive now. I would never, like, that's why I don't want to go back to Australia. It was a great place. I will not survive a 14-hour straight plane ride. I just will not. And I cannot imagine having to get off that plane, play a game, and then get right back on. That sounds like the most miserable 4 days of my life. Like, oh my gosh, I don't know how they're going to be absolutely exhausted. And then also I think from their flying so much right back to back, they're going to be exhausted for week two as well. I think that's a really, really bad idea.
Imagine taking a 14-hour flight and then playing in a football game where you get into a car crash for 4 hours. And then imagine taking another 14-hour flight where every part of your body hurts, right? Like,
they're going to be on a much more comfortable plane than I was. Like, so they're going to have more space, and I'm sure like they have ways to go about it to make sure they limit their soreness and all that. But I don't know. I would much rather get there earlier, have my body be able to, like, I just went to Vegas. It's a 1 hour difference, 1 hour difference. And I felt like my body was confused by that 1 hour. Like I was, like, not, I was like, okay, I have to like keep thinking about this time. And that was just like the first day, but even actually lasted to the second day. That was 1 hour. And when you're talking, it's like a completely different time of the day. I mean, I think, what is it, like a 8-hour difference or something like that there?
Ridiculous. It's like a whole day. It's time zones and all that stuff is very confusing to me. But it almost, to me, feels like what the Rams are saying is like, we don't really care. If we win the game against the Niners, great. If we lose the game against the Niners, great. But we don't want this to affect the rest of our games. We think this will be the thing that lets us get back to normal faster. And remember, the Rams play on Monday in week two, so they have a little bit of extra time. Whereas the 49ers, I feel like, are playing this like, hey, we have to beat the Rams in week one. So we're going to go down a week early, get used to it, and do everything we can to make sure that we look as good as we can be in that week one game. And if we're not as sharp week two against Miami, we'll deal with it then. I feel like that's the two approaches.
Yeah, I like the 49ers approach much better, personally. And also with all of the guys coming off injuries, that would be really the only way to do it. I don't think it'd be very smart to push them to do all that flying in a 2-day span or 2.5-day span and then play, like, that wouldn't make sense either. But either way, I like the 49ers approach much better.
Well, also, what if there's an issue with the Rams plane and it's their takeoff is delayed, right? You're going in so close to game time. Imagine if there's some sort of issue and then all of a sudden you don't get there till like super late at night the day before the game.
It could be storm, right? In LA or something, or in your route, and it could mess everything up.
If that was the case for the Rams, I'd be like, you know what? We're not going. We forfeit the game, and we'll just get ready for week two. I wouldn't hate that if I was a Rams fan.
No, I wouldn't either. I wouldn't. But this game should be so amazing. I have a feeling, though, it's going to be so incredibly sloppy.
It could be. Yeah, it could be just like very disjointed and like no one is crisp. And it's just like who screws up the least.
Imagine if this game was on Thursday night, you know, the Thursday night game of week one. I know it's not the kickoff game, but in LA or in San Francisco, that would just I think they would just perform so much better and give us a better game. But
this is what we are left with. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the show. Thank you, everybody. Please like this video, subscribe to the channel, subscribe to our brand new newsletter. It comes out every Saturday morning. There's a link in the description. It's just a 5-minute read on the week that was and the week to come for the 49ers. It's 100% free, so don't worry about that. But if you could subscribe, that would mean a lot to me. I would greatly, greatly appreciate it. Michelle, the next show we have is going to be breaking down a football game that the 49ers have played in.
Listen, I know I didn't watch the Hall of Fame game, but I am very excited for week one of the preseason. It's just the Hall of Fame game so, so pointless. And even watching like Cardinals, Panthers in general, if they were playing their starters, it's like, all right. So I was not interested in their second and third string players. But no, I do love me like week one preseason, week two preseason football.
Mike Rotunda says, we would be the only team in sports history to have an injury during a forfeit. I don't put it past them. That's what our next show is going to be, Michelle. It's going to be talking about the massive injury that the 49ers have sustained as a result of doing organized football activities the day before.
I really hope not. I really hope not. Like, can please no more injuries. 20 players out is enough.
It got down to 16 yesterday. Hooray!
Whoop, whoop.
Yeah. Diego Figueroa, YouTube channel member, says, good luck on your 4-hour hair appointment, Michelle.
Thank you very much. I need it.
I think I would rather take a, well, I shouldn't say that, but that's like a plane ride. You're sitting there. That's like a plane ride. And it's just to get your hair cut.
I do not like it. Let's be clear. I do not like it. And by the end of it, like my hairdresser knows, like, I'm like, you need to get me out of here right now because I'm going to lose my mind.
If you don't like it, don't do it.
Oh, girls have to do things, okay, Stats?
You do not have to get highlights in your hair. You would be perfectly fine. Your life would not be improved in any way if you're just, you know, if your hair was the exact color you wanted it to be. It'd be just as delightful.
That's what I'm going to do, is get it the color I want it to be.
It's worth suffering for 5 hours?
It's four.
Oh, that makes... That's
sometimes better. 4.5.
You're hopeless. I hope it turns out good. I want a picture when it's done.
Okay, I'll send it.
All right. Enjoy the rest of your Friday and your weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye, y'all.
When your day moves fast, between getting everyone out the door, meal prepping, and trying to find a small moment for yourself, the products you use should make things easier, not harder. That's where Ello comes in. Ello makes thoughtfully designed water bottles, tumblers, and glass food storage containers that fit right into your life, making hydration and storing meals easy, even on your busiest days. Visit elloproducts.com and use code TRYELLO20 for 20% off your first purchase. That's ELLOproducts.com, code TRYELLO20. Hello 20.